your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, we are chatting with Jayant Bhandari, private investor and consultant to many large resource investors, well-known resource investors. Jayant, we're going to get right into it here because, look, we've been talking about how much the junior resource stocks, especially the junior precious metal stocks, have lagged the much higher prices really across the board in commodities. Even though resources, commodities have pulled back from some of their highs, look, these juniors didn't really seem to react to any great degree in the last year and a half. And then on top of that, right now, they're getting absolutely crushed. We're seeing juniors back to trading at cash in the bank valuations, while some of them have ongoing drill programs. Even ounces in the ground aren't getting valued highly at all in tier one jurisdictions. Jayant, we're sitting at over 1800 for gold, and these juniors are trading like gold's back at almost $1,000. What's your takeaway from this environment where juniors just can't get off the mat and get any value for anything that they're doing?
Thanks for having me, Corey. Corey, I have been in the industry for about 15 to 17 years. And what I have seen is that I don't make any money for 2, 3, 4 years. And suddenly within a year, I more than make up for all the losses I will have made in those 3 or 4 years. So I think what people have to be I want to make sure for myself is that I don't take too much margin, or I don't take margin at all. I invest in companies that I really understand thoroughly, and then don't worry about changes in share prices. If I invest for value, eventually I hope, and usually it does happen, that the value gets recognized by the market. Over the last few days, share prices have fallen so much, mostly because volume has fallen drastically in the venture exchange. If you look at the volume in the Canadian venture exchange from mid-April onwards, the volume has fallen by about 50%. And if you look at the spread between share prices of companies, these days you often see a massive spread, which could be as much as 30 to 40% between bid and ask prices. So that means that the buyers have disappeared from the market. And this really gives people like me an opportunity to give stink bids and buy things very cheaply.
Well, Jayant, it's interesting to note the very low volumes, because it does seem to indicate that there's not a lot of buyers, but there's also not a lot of sellers. It seems like there could be some selling exhaustion soon. But one thing that strikes me as just startling is, if people think back to where gold was trading when it was at 1800 or so, a little bit north of that back in 2011, and the valuations that companies have, and then fast forward to 2016, where gold only got up to maybe the mid 1300s, and where the silver and the gold stocks were trading then, even now at $1,800, you know, north of that for gold and north of $22 for silver, we're still seeing valuations that are lower than at those two prior periods, even lower than last year when it felt like we were stuck at 1800 forever. The valuations weren't this low. So what's interesting is there hasn't anything fundamentally changed with a lot of these companies. If anything, they have bigger work programs, more going on. They've made more progress. They've drilled more meters, and they are just in the hurt locker. People thought it was cheap last year, and people were saying it was cheap in 2017 and 2018, but now it's really cheap. So at what point is it a value trap?
Well, I don't consider the current market to be a value trap. I think this is truly a great opportunity to invest in the market. Now, of course, Shad, I would have said exactly the same thing to you last year as well, which would have meant that I would have made a lot of loss in the last 1 year, and I have. But as I said earlier, you have to invest for value. You have no other option. You can't look into the future, and once you think you have invested for value, all you can do is to wait patiently for the market to recognize the underlying value of these companies. Now, look at one company, Gran Colombia, a company that I have talked with you in the past. Now, they are generating a nice cash flow of, I think, about 50 cents American a year. The company is has fallen to I think about $4.50 or something. So that's the kind of situation that you have in the market, where companies have fallen far too much, despite the fact that they are paying dividends and they have a lot of inherent value.
So, Giant, where are you seeing the best value then? Because you can look to some mid-tier miners that are generating some nice cash flow. Those have been sold off. But then you also look to juniors that, to my point earlier, we're seeing ounces in the ground in tier one jurisdictions being valued at $10 an ounce. They're not getting any value for those either. So then where do you see the best value opportunity in the sector?
I would certainly look for opportunities. Basically, Corey, just about everything is very cheap right now, but you can find a lot more value in illiquid names where the volume is not high. And because buyers have disappeared, the share prices of illiquid companies have fallen a lot more than share prices of liquid companies. So look for companies that are illiquid and see if they have they are solid companies, and then invest in those companies. I think Grand Columbia being one of them. Their warrants are very illiquid. They are trading for about $2.50, and as I said, this company is generating about 50 cents in cash for each share every year.
Giant, that's an interesting point about looking for the illiquid companies. I mean, some would argue that some of them are illiquid for a reason, or maybe it's their management team or asset. But I've also noticed that companies that are doing very little work and are putting out very little news aren't moving as much to the downside as companies that actually are putting out a lot of news. I mean, it depends. It's case by case. But there's a lot of companies that are putting out news, and that news becomes a liquidity event. And we've talked to a lot of companies that said, we don't even know if we want to put out news right now, because every time we do, the market sells. What's your thoughts on that? Or maybe looking at companies that are really sitting more on their hands than being active right now?
Well, Shad, in a desperate situation, people are looking for liquidity to sell what they own. That is indeed true. And this is what we have seen in the past as well. When in a bad market, a good company releases a good news, there's usually a sell-off, which means that the share prices can actually fall after the release of a good news. So this is unfortunately a strange behavior of the market, but I would rather use that as an opportunity to buy those companies rather than sell them.
So, Giant, what's it going to take to get some more sentiment into this sector? Because the whole narrative that a lot of the analysts were saying was that gold does well in inflationary environment, and we have still high inflation really around the world. Yes, interest rates are going up. They're still at low levels, and they're still lagging inflation. So that whole argument of negative real interest rates, that should drive metals prices. And metals prices, in all fairness, are doing okay, but the money isn't filtering down into the smaller companies, not even close to filtering down into the mid-cap companies. People have said higher prices brings in more investors. We saw little blips of that, but not enough to actually keep investors in the sector, in the stocks. What's it going to take to change this pretty bad sentiment?
Corey, I don't know what the thinking of the Fed is currently, but I'm reasonably sure they are very afraid of what's happening in the market, because the Democratic Party wants to win the next elections in the US. So I am absolutely sure they are afraid of the fall in the market over the last few weeks. It is, I'm hearing from some people that it is indeed possible that they might not increase the rate as aggressively as they have said they would, because they are afraid of the market reaction to the increase in interest rates. So I don't know when the market will come to recognize that there's value in the market, but I would think that it should happen sooner rather than later, because a lot of sell-off has happened over the last few days. And my gut feeling is that this has to be the bottom, but who knows, maybe 6 months later, we might still be talking about why the market has fallen further.
Well, Giant, the commodities as a whole, if you look at the energy sector, oil and nat gas, if you look at lithium stocks and uranium stocks, if you look at the base metals, the agricultural products, a lot of them have had a pretty good string of 1 to 2 years of higher prices. Now, the correlating companies that extract those maybe didn't do quite as well. But overall, the commodities had a pretty good run. They pulled back now, but we are starting to hear more and more people talking about the potential of recession if the Fed goes too far, or stagflation if we have this high inflation paired with maybe some problems in the labor markets down the road. Do you think if we saw something like a period of extended stagflation or even recession down the road, that this would hurt the demand for commodities because we have China locked down, we have some of the big infrastructure bills paused? Where would the demand come from for the commodity sector moving forward?
So, Shad, you know, the globalization is broken right now. The supply chains are broken. China has gone completely crazy in terms of trying to control COVID. It makes absolutely no sense to me what they are doing in Shanghai today. I think we are clearly in a situation where we have a stagflation and crisis, social crisis in many parts of the world. Countries like Sri Lanka, they have a lot of problems right now. They have burned down houses of the prime ministers and many ministers of the country. So there's a huge problem in Sri Lanka. There's problem in Peru. There are going to be problems in a lot of countries. Indian rupee is trading for its lowest ever compared to the US dollar today. So we clearly have a situation where we have a stagflation, we have recession, and we have a broken globalization. But I still think that what has been carrying the most weight in terms of growth in the world has been China. And China, once it wakes up from its COVID zero craziness, should be able to recover very quickly. And that should lead to a rapid increase in commodity consumption in China. But that's my hope. I have been extremely optimistic about China for the last 1.5, 2 decades. And I feel sad to see what Xi Jinping has been doing to China in terms of enforcing absolutely crazy lockdowns there.
Yeah, China and the people living there, boy, oh boy, still locked down as the rest of the world is broadly open. Tough environment for them. Giant, if we do start to see a bit of a recovery in China and commodities do start moving a little bit, do you think we're going to start to see some more financings? Because back to these companies, juniors, even though they might be trading for cash in the bank, boy, oh boy, the prospects of raising money right now are not good. We're seeing just a couple financings announced each week, some large financings, but we're not seeing juniors able to raise the type of money that they do so that investors look at them and say, ooh, they're going to be running out of money soon. Where does that environment change? And how do you view that environment when eventually these juniors could run out of money?
Well, you certainly don't want to invest in companies that do not have cash right now. I have seen at least two companies that have fallen by about 30 to 40% compared to what they announced their share financing price as. So one company announced a financing price of $1. It's currently trading at about 60 or 65 cents. Another company closed a financing at $1.25. It's trading at less than 90 cents. So there is a crazy fall in market share prices of some of these companies. And companies that don't have cash are companies that I truly want to stay away from for now.
Well, Giant, another trend talking about raising money is the capital build that companies that are at the development stage or even producers that have a development project are revamping their economic studies and finding out it's going to take a lot more money to get the mine built, to get the cement, to get the steel for the labor. And we've seen a couple companies tank recently when they put out cost overruns that were far above what they had initially announced for their development projects. So how does that bode for the rest of the development sector? And how does that bode for other companies that have projects in their pipeline they'd like to build, but they're going to need to raise hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes even billions of dollars, to bring these large projects online?
Yes, and that's something that I see at least in one company that I was trying to understand. This company is in its feasibility stage situation right now, and it seems that their capex will go up by 50 to 70% compared to their PEA, which was released a couple of years back. So unfortunately, that is the situation. We have a huge amount of inflation in capex, and we have a huge amount of inflation in operating costs. So we have to be aware of those things. But again, Shad, compared to the share prices of these compared to what's happening with the inflation and revenue generating capacities of some of these companies, their share prices have fallen far more than they should have fallen.
Do you think that's also because we're not seeing the M&A action to take some of these projects, these multi-million ounce defined resources, off of the market? It's something I've been pointing to for the last while now, is that, look, there are a lot of 1 million, 2 million, 3 million ounce resources that have similar economics, or at least are estimated to have similar economics in good jurisdictions. No longer does 1 million ounces seem to carry the same weight as it used to a decade ago, but we're just not seeing these companies taken out, and that's the end game for a lot of these companies. So it almost feels like a lot of these resources, these deposits, are getting stuck. What do you think about this environment where 1 million ounces isn't the same as it was 10 years ago?
Well, Corey, you know, I have exactly the same feeling. There should be an increase in mergers and acquisitions happening in the market. And I'm not sure why more of those are not happening right now. Is it because the current managements are too entrenched? They don't want to sell their companies. They don't want to negotiate a merger, because of course they lose some of them will lose their jobs as in the process of mergers. But I think mergers have to happen. And if these companies start running out of money, and if they can't raise money from the market, then they will have no option but to start merging with those companies that are cash rich and stronger. So I hope that that process starts, because without that, there will not be new energy coming into the market. But once that process starts, there will be new blood flowing in the market.
Well, just tying together the two last comments, I mean, I think a lot of the reason that we're not seeing more mergers is because these companies are realizing that there's cost overruns everywhere, and that a lot of the projects they were looking at maybe a year ago, and the excuse was, well, we couldn't get to the project because of COVID restrictions on travel. But now they're thinking, boy, I can't go out and announce to the market a big merger when we know it's going to take so much more to build this project than their PEA or their PFS or their FS. And we also hear the narrative that we're going to need more copper. We're going to need more nickel. The world needs more rare earths. The world needs more tin. You know, but to build those projects, it's not just a $50 million or $100 million. It's $1 billion sometimes. So where are those companies going to be able to get the money to build these mega projects to supply these minerals that the world so badly needs? Is there a breaking point where finally people are going to have to either raise the prices to a point where it makes sense to bring them online, or we're going to have a change in the way companies get funded where the terms are a little bit better in favor of the mining companies?
Well, terms in favor of mining companies should not be better. These companies should be generating a nice return on capital invested. I think what should face the consequences of the economic situation is increase in is the commodity prices. Commodity prices should increase to cater to increased inflation, increased prices of capital expenditure, and increased operating costs. So my view is that commodity prices should go up, and we should avoid investing. Managements of these companies should avoid investing unless we see higher commodity prices, such that they make good return for the shareholders at the current share price.
John, kind of on a tangent here, there's a group of companies that is usually doing pretty well this time of the year. That's companies in the Golden Triangle, because they are quickly approaching the time when they can drill. A lot of these companies do still have a fair bit of money and are planning big drill programs, but they are not getting any love heading into these drill programs. What we usually see with Golden Triangle companies is they run for this month, even last month, and maybe a couple more months, and then start to peter out a little bit in the second half of the year. What's the environment for Golden Triangle companies if they're not running this time of the year?
Yeah, I mean, companies should avoid investing money in the ground if the market does not give them value for that investment in the ground, particularly if they are running out of cash. And it's a dilemma. It's if you don't drill, then you can't show results to the market, and your share prices won't perform. So it's a vicious cycle for a lot of these companies. But you know, I think managements have to make a common sense decision in which they should invest in the ground only if they can make the market see value that they are creating before they have to raise the next round of money. It's not an easy decision in my view, but that is exactly why I'm not really keen on investing in companies that are running out of cash right now.
Well, Giant, could part of the problem be, and I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this other than every day, and that is the delays at assay labs. We're still getting reports in from people's 2021 drill programs. I probably have seen a half dozen news releases just in the last week or so on people putting out the end of their 2021 drill results. And so they raised capital back in 2020, or maybe the early part of 2021, did this drill program, and we're just now getting the results for it, and they're falling on deaf ears. And so they may usually want to raise on the love that they get from the market on those results. So companies are frustrated that they did all this work, they raised all this money, they drilled these holes, they waited for months, maybe 3 to 6 months to finally get them back, and then nobody cares. And that's what they needed to fund the next chapter. So is part of it just the massive delay times at assay labs?
Yeah, I mean, you see the globalization process, the whole value chain is broken right now. Nothing seems to be working. Companies have run out of spare parts. They can't procure spare parts. Farmers don't have access to fertilizer, for example. So we have a broken globalization system. And, there are so many known and unknown problems right now that we will have problems with valuation of companies.
So, Giant, let's summarize this here. What are you doing with your portfolio? Do you have a bunch of stink bids in there? Are you already positioned in the stocks that you like, that you think are getting the least value for their project? Or are you doing something completely different? Give us some insights here, please.
So I have, Corey, clearly used up all the cash I had over the last couple of days. So I really have not much cash left, except that I have some money segregated for a private placement that I will be doing over the next few days. And I have made a commitment for that. So I will be, I have segregated that cash. But apart from that, I simply don't have any cash. But if I had $5 million today in cash with me, I would invest all of that money over the next couple of days. That's how good the market is for investment purposes right now.
All right, Giant, we'll wrap it up here. Look, I am also seeing just a lot of value out there that isn't getting any love in the market. And we have seen these environments before, and these environments can last longer than investors would like. However, they can be great opportunities. It can just feel really weird buying stocks that clearly nobody else is buying and that keep on trending lower. However, the washout that we have seen does set up the potential for a snapback type rally. We'll see where we go from here, but I always appreciate your insights there, Giant. We'll be chatting again in the next couple weeks, and I'll also be seeing you at an upcoming conference in Vancouver. That should sure be interesting to judge the mood of that conference. Giant, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. It's great chatting with you. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much, Chad and Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.